Psalm chapter 46, and we will be there momentarily. It's hard to believe that here we are now in the second Sunday of November. We're well into now what many call and refer to as the busy season. From really about October 31st up until January 2nd, our calendars, they begin to fill up. There are dinners to go to, dinners to cook, gifts to buy, places to go, decorations to hang, programs to attend. Now, for some of us, those decorations have already been hung. They have been hung for a while. Most people, through January 2nd now, they will run in a blur of tasks and gatherings, shopping, events, noise, pressure, so on and so forth. From, again, October 31st up until about January the 2nd. Now, we didn't sing this hymn this morning, but the hymn writer, William Longstaff, captured our reality when he wrote in that old hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy," when he said, "Take time to be holy, the world rushes on." And if we're not careful, we will lose sight of the fact that the world does rush on. And it seems just as what culture and the world would say, as we get more advanced, our society and our world just seems to move faster and faster, and it just seems to go at a breakneck pace. But God, and we're going to see this morning, God calls his people to live differently. You're there, Psalm chapter 46, and I invite you, it's a short psalm, and so with that in mind, we're going to read all 11 verses this morning. Psalm chapter 46, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the Lord of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. God, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." You notice that phrase there in verse number 10. While the world rushes on, God calls us as his people to live differently. He tells us as his people to be still and know that he is God. And this morning, what we want to do is we want to see just what it means, especially in what many refer to as the busy season. We want to see what it means to slow down, to walk with God, and to truly enjoy him in this season, to enjoy our family, to enjoy our friends, to enjoy our church family, and that while the world rushes on, Lord willing, you and I as Christians can take a moment to just stop and praise the Lord and remember Him for His goodness and be still and know that He is God. And for a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us this thought: while the world rushes on. While the world rushes on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank You for this day, and we do thank You for Your love and Your mercy towards us. And we thank You now for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in Your house on a Sunday morning to sing Your praises and open Your Word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian You'd have us to be. And now, Father, we just pray that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of You and You alone, and may the message be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these Your people. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they would not leave this church without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. And Lord, this morning, we pray that if there be one here this morning, they need to hear a word of encouragement from You. We pray they'd hear that word this morning. Lord, now just bless our time together. Meet with us in a special and real way as only You can. And for all that You'll do, we'll be careful to give You the praise, the honor, the glory. We love You now and we need You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see again here, verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. The very first thing I wanted to see this morning is the command. The command, be still and know. Psalm 46, of course, is widely understood to have been written during the days of King Hezekiah, when the Assyrian Empire would surround Jerusalem and threaten to destroy Jerusalem. You read about that in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. And so at this point, that Psalm 46 is or was written, nations were falling one by one. The strongest army in the world is standing at Israel's gate, and the situation appeared hopeless. And yet, in the midst of national fear, in the midst of military pressure, in the midst of overwhelming danger, God speaks in verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. And now this was not a whisper in a quiet moment. This was a declaration in a time of crisis. God was saying to the nation of Israel, hey, stop panicking, stop fearing, stop fretting, stop striving in your own strength. I am still God. I am still in control. Even now, I am still God. And for as Christians today, God is still saying that same message. And so often, and it's just human nature that we worry and we fret and we panic and we try to do things in our own strength. And meanwhile, the God of heaven is in heaven saying, hey, wait a minute. Stop panicking. Stop worrying. Stop fearing. Stop fretting. I'm still in control. I'm still God. The Hebrew word translated here, be still, is Rapha, meaning to go, relax, or cease striving. God is saying again, stop trying to control everything. You ever meet somebody like that? They just have to have control of everything. And if they don't have, you know, if they can't get it under control, all they do is worry and fret. And they just, and listen, there needs to be a time in our life where we realize that we can't control everything. Sometimes there are some things that are outside of our control, and we just have to give it over to God. We just have to give it over to the Lord. And so he's saying, stop trying to control everything. Stop, again, stop striving in your own strength. You know, anyone ever see the Disney cartoon Frozen, Elsa, Let It Go? That's what God is saying here. Let it go and let me be God. Let it go and let me be God. Now, this isn't, you know, being passive. This isn't taking responsibility. It's trust. It's the quiet confidence of one who knows that God is still on the throne, even when life is spinning fast. Even when life seems like it's throwing you a million miles a minute, you still know, you still realize, you still acknowledge that God is still on the throne. We see here again, verse number 10, be still. But there's a second part to it. And know that I am God. Now listen, I want you to realize something this morning. We can't know that he is God if we never slow down long enough to hear his voice. If we don't take the time to just stop and listen for, the Bible calls it that still small voice. Elijah didn't hear God in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. But 1 Kings 19:12, the still small voice. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 40 and verse 1. The holiness of life begins in the stillness before God. Now, that's why it's so good that when you first wake up in the morning, and I enjoy either late at night or early in the morning because there's nothing else going on. Nobody else to, you know, call your phone. Nobody else to send you an email. Nobody else to send you a text message. None of that. You know, nobody coming and knocking on your door. No packages being delivered. No mail coming. No, I mean, you fill in the blank. And there's something special just about that quiet that you just get to have and spend with the Lord. Yesterday I was running errands and in and out. And yesterday after I finished some errands, I was waiting on Mandy. And so I was just kind of, I went down and I was just kind of sitting there in the parking lot. And then I remembered, oh, I have one other thing to do. And so I went to do that. But as I was sitting there in the parking lot, it was kind of a cloudy day. And I was just sitting there in the car and I was kind of, you know, watching people go by. And you know, there was something, you know, special about that quiet time where you just see the world outside of you just passing on by and just, you know, everybody in a rush. And you know, contentment comes when we realize we don't have to be in such a rush. You know, sometimes when we're driving, you know, if you're not going fast enough for the person in back of you, what do? They get around you and they cut you off and they go, and then, you know what? 2 minutes later, you're both sitting at the same red light. They didn't get any further than you did, but they were in such a rush, they just had to get ahead of you. And in reality, they didn't get any further than you did. Now, I think of the old Looney Tunes cartoon, you know, the tortoise and the hare. You know, the tortoise or the hare, the rabbit, Bugs Bunny. I mean, he was going fast and fast and fast. And the tortoise, he was just going slow as can be. You know, the old saying, slow and steady wins the race. But we see the command. But then secondly, this morning, we see the distraction. The distraction. And that distraction is the world rushes on. The world rushes on. Romans 12:2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, this morning, this world, it has a pattern. And you know, the longer you're around, you'll get to know that pattern. It's loud, it's hurried, it's competitive, it's anxious, it's proud. The Greek word here for world means cosmos. It refers to not just to people, but to the system of human life without God. The system of human life without God. And listen, this world is driven by schedules, success, and self. And you know, but God's people, as those who have been saved, we are called to live differently. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 this morning. And we see here in Luke chapter 10, we find the hurry of Martha. The hurry of Martha. See, Martha, you have to slow down. Stop hurrying. Amen? All right. Different Martha. But, you know, it can apply to our Martha too. But Martha, yeah, Martha. Mark, or Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says this. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And so we see here that Martha was busy. The Bible says that she was cumbered about much serving. Meanwhile, Mary is still sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus tells Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And see, folks, there is never a lack of things for us to be troubled about. I mean, tomorrow you wake up, you're going to have a whole host of new problems in a whole new week. But Jesus says one thing is needful. And what is that one thing? That we keep ourselves close to the feet and side of Jesus. And see, busyness is not holiness. Activity is not spirituality. And listen, we can serve God and yet at the very same time miss God if we're not sitting and standing right there with him. And so this holiday season, this world is going to rush on by. Sales, lights, shopping, noise. In fact, the Black Friday deals have already started. Every time I open up my Walmart app, it's... They're already advertising Black Friday deals in store, online. And it starts earlier and earlier every year. But for the child of God, for the Christian, we need to learn to pause. We need to learn to pray. We need to take time and learn to ponder. Take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Take time to read his word. Take time to give thanks. Take time to enjoy your family. Take time to remember that time with God is never wasted. Every year, and it's almost become a joke with Manny and I and some others, but every year, I like to have our Christmas tree up. The house decorated, clean, cozy by October 31st, by Halloween. Not because that, you know, I enjoy Halloween, although the candy is a nice bonus or perk. By the way, did anyone notice? I mean, maybe I missed it, but none of the Halloween candy went on sale at Walmart this year, the day after Halloween. Usually it goes on, you know, deep discount, but not this year. We went in a couple days after Halloween, and it was still full price, and it's still all just sitting there. People just waiting for it to, you know, be put on discount. But, you know, now some people, you know, especially... You know, when I share with friends or family, they say, oh, man, you're just rushing Christmas. You know, let's get to Thanksgiving first. But you know, it's actually quite the opposite. Because in doing so, it's not rushing the season. What I'm trying to do is trying to savor the season. Because listen, if we wait until the world tells us it's time to celebrate, we will blink and it'll be over. We will blink and it'll be gone. The world usually starts to celebrate Christmas sometime around the day and weeks after Thanksgiving. But then by December 26th, I mean, you go into Walmart, you put on the radio, the Christmas decorations are gone, the Christmas music is over, the decorations are in the trash, the songs are gone, and all of a sudden the joy is just like, it's like a switch and it's shut off for another year. The world is already moving on. By December 26th, 9 times out of 10, you'll go into Walmart and you'll see they already have Valentine's decorations out. It's like, wait a minute. Jesus isn't even out of the manger yet. And they already are celebrating or getting ready for Valentine's Day. But you know, and it goes back to, you know, growing up, but you know, I want our home to be different. I want our church to be different. I want us to, you know, slow the season down. Enjoy the warmth of home. Enjoy the quiet evenings, you know, where the tree is lit, the house smells good, the blankets are on the couch, the music is soft, the pace is gentle. I want to be able to enjoy Mandy, to enjoy the dog, enjoy time with my dad, and enjoy laughing and talking and sitting still, and enjoy our church family and the gatherings we'll have as a church family. I want us to be able to enjoy being here in the moment, not worrying about, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm here, but oh, now I gotta go because I got 20 other things to do. Worshiping together, fellowshipping together, praying together. And listen, so often, so many churches this time of year, they run at 90 miles an hour through November and through December. That's why we need to make sure we don't intentionally overload the calendar. And again, listen, not because, you know, we want to be lazy, but because we want to make room for Christ. Make room for Jesus. I remember our church in Philly, we used to have our Thanksgiving service on Tuesday, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, like we do here, the praise and pie. And then that usually that Monday or that Tuesday morning before the service, every year we would do turkeys and all the sides for families in the church that needed a Thanksgiving meal. And so we would go, Miss Alice, our church secretary, and I, we would deliver. All the things. But then I remember we'd have our Thanksgiving service Tuesday night, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, up until Sunday, pastor made sure that the church, it was closed down. Nobody was in. Nobody was, you know, coming and going. The church was closed down, and he told people, this week, no work done at the church. You go home, you enjoy your friends, or you enjoy your family. You enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy the holiday. We did the same thing when it was time to, you know, go for Christmas and so on and so forth. And, you know, we need to get into this mindset that we would rather do fewer things with full hearts than many things and running on empty. Do fewer things with full hearts than many things running on empty. Because the world rushes on, but the child of God does not have to run with it. We don't have to go the same pace that this world goes. And so we see the command, we see the distraction, then thirdly this morning, we see the call. We see the call, which is take time to be holy. First Peter 1, 15 and 16, the Bible says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." The Greek word for holy, hagios, means set apart, distinct, pure, devoted. Holiness does not mean isolations, but it is dedication. It's not walking around with a halo. Because listen, I don't know any of us here this morning that, you know, we have a halo over our head 24/7. But it is walking with God on a daily basis in sincerity and truth. There's several ways that we can take time to be holy this holiday season. Number one, through Scripture, through the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. You'll never grow, and I'll never grow in holiness apart from time in the Bible. And as you read the Bible, your spirit renews your mind. Secondly, through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And listen, we need to realize, and realize it quick, prayer is not a chore, it's a conversation. When we slow down, when we take the time to pray, we invite God's peace to guard our hearts. Thirdly, through fellowship, make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. The hymn writer understood that holiness is lived out in community, not just in isolation. And then, through service. Through service, Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. You see, this morning, holiness isn't just about separation from sin. It's about dedication to God. And so we see the command, we see the distraction, we see the call. And then fourthly, this morning, we see the contrast. We see the contrast, and that contrast is the rushing world versus the rested heart. And we see the rest that Jesus offers. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You notice what he said there, "I will give you rest." And you see, this morning, rest is not found in a vacation, although vacations are good. Rest is found in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the world, it wants to offer us escape. Escape from your daily life. But Jesus offers peace. An old preacher once said, "If you don't stop and wind your watch, it will stop working." Too many Christians run and run and run and run and run until they break down spiritually because they've stopped spending time with the one who keeps them running right. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see the consequence. We see the consequence when we don't take time to be holy. Number one, we lose our joy. We lose our joy. It has been said that the most lonely time of year is the holidays. And you stop to think, well, how can that be? I mean, in a time when it should be filled with joy, how is it that there are so many people that are just sad and just miserable? Well, because they're trying to go the world's pace instead of God's pace. And in doing so, they lose their joy. You know, for a lot of people, by the time December 26th comes, they say, "I am so glad that Christmas is done. I am so glad that the holidays are over." You ever stop to think, why is that? Because we've fallen into the trap of the world that says, well, because the world's busy, then we need to be busy. No, as Christians, we need to be still and know that he is God. That's what we need to do. Psalm 51:12, the Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Not only that, but secondly, we lose our witness. We lose our witness. You ever notice? Because listen, a hurried Christian is often a harsh Christian. A hurried Christian is often a harsh Christian. And again, the time of year when you think people are supposed to be nice. Instead of being nice, you get a lot of bah humbug. But why is that? Because again, we're so busy trying to keep up instead of just focusing on God. And then thirdly, we lose our intimacy with God. We lose our intimacy with God. Listen, when we're rushing and we're going a million miles a minute, all of a sudden God begins to feel distant. God begins to feel far away. And listen, let me just encourage us this morning. It's not God who drifted. It's not God who left us. It's not God who is running a million miles a minute. It's us. And like Samson, one day we wake up and we say, "Wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Judges 16:20. Holiness takes time. There are no shortcuts to godliness. There are no shortcuts to spending time with God. And so this morning, take your Bibles, one final portion of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. And I want you to notice there verse number 16. The Bible says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." When William Longstaff wrote that hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy," way back in 1882, he based it on this verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. He saw the world around him rushing towards being modern. Trains, telegrams, industry. And he reminded believers that holiness requires time. We today live in a faster world than he ever could have imagined. But the message hasn't changed. While the world rushes on, and especially in the holiday season, the busiest of all busy, take time to be holy. Take time to love your family. Take time to thank your Savior. And take time to serve others. Because when you slow down, and you slow down with God, you'll find that he's never rushed. He's never late. He's never too busy to meet with you and to meet with me. He's always right on time. And so this holiday season, take that time. Spend time with him. Spend time with your family. Love them. Thank God for them. And serve them to the best of your ability. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.